This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good morning. Welcome to Medicine on Call. I'd like to pick up where we left off from the last show because it seems like the immigration crisis is just, it's snowballing. But actually, I'm seeing some change. There's a lot of, beginning to be a lot of groundswell, local groundswell, pushing back against these busloads, plane loads of people being dropped off in various neighborhoods. It's interesting to me that the progressives, the people who are pro this onslaught of immigration, seem to be using the word compassion, you know, nonstop, as if it's the magic key, the key that opens everything that they want to do. They use compassion against us for Obamacare. They're using it for getting rid of charter schools and having children shunted into the public school system. They're using it now against, you know, the Supreme Court decision. So it's all of a sudden it's against women and it's open season on women. Now they're using it with the immigration crisis. And I just want to ask a progressive, what does compassion mean to you? Because it doesn't mean the same thing to me. And if you're talking about children, women, men dying trying to cross the Rio Grande or walking 1,700 miles to be put into concentration camps, if you really want to call it what it is, it's a group of people in unsanitary conditions with sometimes no air conditioning, outside in some instances, trapped with people who are sick, with a crime scene tape separating them in one common space, being put on a bus with the clothes on their backs, dropped off in a bus station, and just say, fend for yourself. That's not compassion. That is human tragedy. And basically what they're trying to do is play politics with the lives of human beings. And that's how I see it. It's not about helping people. It's about gaming the system, gerrymandering the system so that you can, down the road, win at all costs. And actually now, win at all costs. This is all about the election. I don't know about, I know you're probably working, Dave, but yesterday on Fox, as I was getting ready for work, Bob Beckel, one of the progressive pundits on the one, I think it's the Five, but he basically outed the entire scheme. And he said, I think the commentator asked him something about the human cost, the human tragedy of this. Is this kind of worth it? His answer was, well, we have 300 members of Congress that are probably going to go Republican in this election. And to sum it up, it's a strategy. And if I were advising the president, I'd tell him to do the same thing. It's a strategy. It's a strategy to try to win the election by the Democrats and globalists who want to see the same thing happen, wants to see the country go down this path of the North American Union. This is what it's all about. Petraeus has said it. Pelosi has said it. Now Beckel is basically out of the whole situation. It's not about helping people. If it were, then you would not allow this human tragedy to continue to unfold. When they get here, you know, I can only imagine what it's like sitting in a hot condition, thirsty, hungry. You don't know where you are. You don't know. I mean, sometimes I would guess some of these people are separated from their families. I can't even imagine the fear on some, you know, in somebody sitting in a situation where they're victimized or they're potentially victimized. We're not talking about human trafficking. We didn't even talk about that. We didn't talk about the sex rings that are popping up or getting more powerful in the situation. People being picked off like, you know, ducks in a barrel, if you want to put it that way. It's bad to put that analogy out there, but that's how they don't have guns. They can't protect themselves. They're hungry, they're thirsty, or at the mercy of whomever is going to, they hope, help them. And what's the government putting them in? So let's say these children come in. They can't find a family or their own family, and they're put in foster care, or they're put in churches where they're dependent on the mercy of whoever's caregiving them. Then they go to a school where they don't speak English. I mean, this just, it doesn't make sense. For what purpose? And now you have the governments from Guatemala, Honduras, saying that they want their people back. Did you hear that one? That one of the leaders said that, in his opinion, this was a brain drain for their country. They wanted their children back. What's the story exactly? Is there political strife? You know, I know the economic times are hard, but you know what? They're hard here too. We're going down the path that they are already in. So why is it such an economic, social crisis? They're refugees all of a sudden. I don't understand that, and it's created. You know, we've gone on their TV and basically said, come to the land of milk and honey, you'll get free everything, free education, free health care. Just get here and you can stay. That's what the government did. That's what the mantra has been. People are going to follow that.
You know, they come from a terrible, terrible situation. And as we were talking about it on the Immigration Hour yesterday, they've come to another terrible situation. And the real bottom line on all of this is that we knew it was, I say we, the government knew that this was about to happen, and they've done nothing. And, you know, heaven forbid we should set up on the borders a refugee camp of some sort to take them in and do what's right, which is, you know, there's the law and then there's whatever else. Mm-hmm. But we've got the problem. We need leadership that stepped in and said, okay, I'm opening up X number of tents or whatever in a refugee camp, and we're going to go through them, sort them, have them medically checked. It's a situation that's happened, and you can't just all of a sudden, you know, nothing can be done immediately, but at least we could do something if we had leadership. There's I don't want to change the subject, but I do want to bring it up. There was something very scary that came out yesterday, and it happened Monday, I believe. And I don't know if you've seen this or not. Only one area have I seen it announced. But Obama came out and said, and this scares me to death, that he wants access, immediate access, to the emergency broadcast system, where he can flip a switch and go directly to your TV, your radio, take it over.
That's already happened. If you look at your cell phone, there's an emergency alert section.
But he wants it for that his picture goes on, like he can contact, you know, ABC and NBC, and at 8 o'clock I'm going to do a press. He wants to be able to flip a switch and be on everybody's television.
I'm not surprised. That's can already do it on your cell phone, so I'm not surprised. But I think, you know, from what I can see, I mean, we're getting bits and pieces of this. We're getting the PSYOPs version of this. Play on the emotions. That's how this administration works. It's been from day one. Play on the race card, the sex card, the class card, every single card.
I assume you heard Holder's statement the other day.
Oh, just nauseating, honestly. Can anybody really even listen to that anymore? That's their fallback. You know that they have no argument when they start saying that it's racist and that you don't like me because I'm black. Come on. We don't like what you're doing because it's illegal, because you are not following the rule of law. You're making it up by yourself. You're protecting your loved ones, your cronies, and you're screwing over the American people. Everybody can see that. And this, what it's doing is not separating us anymore. I think it's actually bringing people together. There's a whole group of people, black, Hispanic, white, on these borders, are on these demonstrations against people coming in that are undocumented. It's not racist to want to protect your health, your livelihood, your country. There's nothing wrong with that. Any other sovereign nation will do that. Look at that soldier in Mexico. He crossed over by mistake. He's still sitting in jail. Why aren't we trying to get him out? I mean, this is like a complete double standard. We're the only open border in the whole world, technically. I can't go over to Canada. I can't go to Mexico. I can't go to Germany. I can't go anywhere without being, you know, asked to come in and do my due diligence to get in. What's wrong with that? When it's controlled, it makes sense. When it's not controlled, it's chaos. They're trying to ferment chaos. It's how I see it. Let's talk more about it when we come back. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Come on, follow Sniffles to Atlanta's go-to center for breathing easy. Do you suffer from chronic sinus headaches, recurrent sinusitis, facial pain or pressure, and chronic congestion? Well, balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Follow Sniffles.com. We treat the problem, not the symptom. Chronic sinus symptoms, gone. This could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day, and it's done under local anesthesia. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Follow Sniffles.com.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that chronic nasal congestion, a decreased sense of smell, and asthma can be signs of allergies? Allergies are caused when the body is exposed to things you breathe in or eat that the body does not like. The body's immune system reacts and attacks it, what it perceives to be the enemy, even if it causes no harm, like pet dander or dust. This leads to swelling. In the nose, this causes congestion. In the bowel, it causes stomach bloating and diarrhea. In the lung, it causes shortness of breath and wheezing. And in the skin, it causes hives and itching. The first line of defense against allergy is avoidance. Dustproofing, washing pets, and keeping them out of the bedroom can help with environmental causes. For food allergies, keeping a diary of things eaten and reaction to them is helpful. Allergy testing is less time-consuming and is a safe and effective way to identify allergies. For a complete evaluation, you should see your allergy specialist.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, chaos is one of the things that the Alinsky playbook, the Clower-Piven strategy, is all about. I can't stomach watching it, but there's a series called The 60s on CNN that's running. And, you know, I was barely born at that time. You know, I had no consciousness of what was going on. But you think about these guys, they're brilliant in a sense because they played the long game. They played chess while everybody was playing checkers. So they couldn't do it violently. They decided to go into the system and change it from within. Education. The people who are in power now grew up during that time. And it's by any means necessary. Lie if you have to. Steal if you have to. Basically, humiliate people if you have to. I've never seen such bold lies like in your face. My favorite yesterday is the press secretary saying that the United States has basically reigned over the most peaceful time in our existence. You know, we're involved with bringing peace. And I think the people, finally, the news people in the audience say, well, what about Iraq? What about Israel? What about, you know, this everywhere that you can think, there's some hot spot. The United States has either a direct or indirect relationship with it. I mean, this is Orwellian beyond, it's on steroids. At least Orwellian stuff, you kind of have to think whether it's a lie or not. This is like, are you kidding? Are you living in the same time frame as we are? What is going on with you guys? Are you that insulated that you don't get it? Or you just think if you keep saying it, we'll just go along with you at this point? It's complete disdain for everybody except the people that are in power. And it doesn't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat. It's become moot, whether or not you're leftist or right side, you know, conservative, it doesn't matter, because the same thing, the same mindset is driving it. I heard on the radio, and I do believe it's true, the Democrats and Republicans both want these immigrants here. They both want them for different reasons, but for the same end point. The people in the Chamber of Commerce, the business owners, want cheap labor. They don't want to pay union wage. they don't want an American citizen who's not going to be abused in some way. I'm not going to let you work me to a, you know, like a mule and then not pay me. I'm not going to do that. But it's okay to have someone who's destitute, someone who's desperate and who just wants a job and will do anything for it, let you do whatever you want to them economically and like it. Just give me cash and that's all I want. That's what they want on that side of the table. Democrats are looking, again, playing chess. Everybody's playing checkers. Once the people get in here and they get a foothold, they're not going back. They know that. They want them to be in, you know, taken into society, taken into the churches, taken into blue-collar neighborhoods, wherever they're going to drop these folks off. Once they do get an apartment or get into social services, or they have a child, then they're here. They know that. And they're looking down, having a Democratic majority down the road forever. That's what they want. God knows why. Because every time the Democrats take over, things do not work out right. If people really would think critically about the Clinton years, and they talk about how fabulous he was, it's because he kowtowed to the Republicans and actually did what the Republicans wanted, just to be popular, right? And so it was Republican, I wouldn't say doctrines, but some of the things that they wanted, like cutting welfare rolls, etc., actually works. No, I don't think welfare is a good thing. I think it breeds for people to have less self-respect, feel entitled. We're seeing what this is so now. I'm working for these guys. So are you. So is everybody who has a job right now. If 90 million people are on some sort of government assistance, their whole objective is to stay on it and to get more. It's human nature. Why wouldn't you? If I'm sitting on my couch with my feet up and I'm getting a check and I can do whatever I want, you know, most people will say that's a good life. But it's not. Because whoever holds the purse strings will eventually start tightening them. And then you've got nowhere to go. You've got no skills. You've got no way to protect yourself. You've got no way to extricate yourself from the system. And you're trapped. That's slavery. That's exactly what that is. I understand why Dr. Carson used that term with Obamacare. Yes, it's incendiary. But let's strip away the motion and think about the reality. Doctors are now, if we continue down this path, will become beholden to the system. And I have to finish reading an article this morning, but the title was, I Knew It. All the doctors who went into the hospital, not all, but most, well, everybody, sorry, all doctors who contract with hospitals have a contract. Apparently, they're all coming, it's coming to the time that they're coming around to the next contract negotiation. And guess what? They're going to have to take pay cuts. Because the Obamacare gravy train wasn't as long as everybody thought it was, and the hospitals are now cutting back. So they cut back their contract labor. That's fine. But the doctors who are now in staff on the accountable care organizations, they're going to have to share the pie with the hospitals. And guess who's going to win? Who's going to take the lion's share of that pie? It's going to be the hospital administration, not the doctor. Big surprise. So now you're stuck. You sold your practice to the hospital. Maybe you have a clause where you can't practice within a certain radius of the hospital. Let's say you're 50 years old. What do you do then? You can't start over. Maybe you can move out of state, maybe, but that means you've uprooted your entire life. You're trapped. And the next thing you have to do is do their bidding. This is all about documentation, meaningful use, evidence-based medicine, the whole, we talk about it every week, but it's somebody telling you how to treat your patient. And what tests you can't order, and what is medically necessary. You don't get to decide that anymore. Why the heck be a doctor? What's the point of that? And the people coming in now who never had any clue as to what it meant to be self-sufficient, autonomous, and patient-centered really meant to be a patient advocate, they'd have no clue what they lost. All they know is, it seems like I got a nice job, it's 9 to 5. That's about to end too. Guys, girls, it's going to end. And then you're going to be stuck doing the bidding of a hospital like it. If you do talk sideways, you might go up in peer review. You might not even be in practice anymore. And for those nurse practitioners and physician assistants who are now on the front line, taking care of patients, taking the place of doctors, they're coming for you next. Once they get rid of us, they're coming for you. You just become a means to an end, you know, a part of the system, another cog in the wheel. And it sounds wonderful that you're writing prescriptions and you're taking care of patients. But once they get rid of the doctors, you're the next line. And it's going to be just, I can't even imagine. I mean, just read Brave New World. That's all I have to say to you. That's a great book. I recommend highly that people read that. 1984, definitely read that too. But Brave New World is really the future of medicine and society, because it's not about anybody being an individual anymore. It's about being part of a collective, a whole. And that collective, unfortunately, in this socialized collectivist system, nobody's equal. There's equal and there's more equal. So everybody, you're not going to be the more equal people. It's going to be the people, the bureaucrats running it. The academics who think they're special and they're better than you are, and they get to social engineer your quality of life from cradle to grave. That's what kind of people we're dealing with. They don't care about you. They care about controlling you. They're control freaks. And this whole immigration situation is an example of what they really think of people. Because if you really did care about humanity, you would not put people in this position where you're encouraging them to enter a system, to go through a gauntlet that those that survive are not what they came in as. You know, they didn't leave their country this way. I think they'll be changed forever, frankly. I don't know. Ultimately, I think we need to really take a step back and take responsibility for ourselves as individuals first. Nobody cares more about anybody. If you don't care about yourself, nobody else cares more about you than you should. And I think people are sometimes, or it seems to me that people are starting to realize that. There's a woman, an article from Florida where the woman voted for Obama and her mantra was, you know, I want Obama to pay my mortgage and, you know, pay for my food, basically someone with their hand out. Now she realizes it's all a lie. He lied to us. I don't trust him. And I'm pulling back from this system. I hope this ripples to the entire country, and the people who you know, bought into this system realize that it's never going to work. And instead of sitting back and saying, woe is me, vote against whoever's in power right now. Vote the incumbents out. That's how you send a message. They get that. They get that loud and clear. Get rid of Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, got Dianne Feinstein, the rest of that crew, Charles Schumer. Those people are enemies of the country, in my opinion. They are not looking out for the best interest of American citizens or people coming in legally or illegally. They are just numbers for these guys. They are manipulating emotion. They're trying to manipulate your thought processes to make you work against yourself, making everybody a victim while they're the savior. Meanwhile, all they care about is getting in the next time and doing the bidding of the UN. This is what they're doing. I know we talk about Agenda 21. Well, we rarely talk about Agenda 21, but we really do need to talk about Agenda 21 and the North American Union and globalism. Medicine is only one part of it, and I've said it in the past that we're entering the globalized medical system with ICD-10, which is that coding system that's coming online. We are the last developed country that's ushering in socialized medicine. Canada's done it, New Zealand's done it, Australia, UK, Germany, etc. It doesn't work. If you look at their systems, they've privatized them in Sweden. They've gotten private companies to actually oversee the socialized medicine system in the UK. The Canadians have pulled back a lot from basically not allowing anybody to go outside the system to being more flexible because the lines are too long. The innovation is zero. People who could afford it opted out in the first place. Either they came here or they made a private contract with a doctor, probably illegally in Canada initially. But it's not working. It can't work. You cannot have a one-size-fits-all healthcare system and keep quality that's mutually exclusive. If you can have it, but you should not promise people quality and access because they totally don't exist when you start talking about socialized systems. And anybody who really is intellectually honest will tell you that. all the people in Hollywood are telling you how racist you are for hating Obamacare, meanwhile have their own private physician traveling on the plane with them, really don't understand. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know skipping doses of medication can be dangerous? If you have a chronic medical condition like diabetes or high blood pressure, it's important to take the medication prescribed by your physician. It is also important to remember that although you take a medicine to treat a condition, it is not a cure for the underlying medical condition. It is used to control it. For example, taking medication for diabetes will lower your blood sugar. However, if you stop taking the medication, the sugar will rise again. Changes in both diet and lifestyle, like adding exercise to your routine, are equally important. Working with your physician by following his or her recommendations is the key to controlling your disease and maintaining your health. Ask questions if you don't understand something. Taking control of your health is the key to wellness. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
Come on, follow Sniffles to Atlanta's go-to center for breathing easy. Do you suffer from chronic sinus headaches, recurrent sinusitis, facial pain or pressure, and chronic congestion? Well, balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Follow Sniffles.com. We treat the problem, not the symptom. Chronic sinus symptoms, gone. This could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day, and it's done under local anesthesia. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Follow Sniffles.com.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
On call. You know, it occurred to me that, you know, we're talking about compassion, but let's talk about racism for a minute. You know, the big R word. From my perspective, to me, it's more racist for someone to think they know, just because I'm black, how I think, what my motivations are, what moves me. That's, to me, more offensive than anything else. And I actually had a patient say to me that he thought that I'd be for de Blasio in New York and that I would love his policies. I'm like, I just had to stop him because not all black people think the same way. And that progressive mindset of being able to pigeonhole people by the color of their skin, their economic status, their sex, how racist and sexist is that? Just because I'm a woman doesn't mean I believe in abortion. Just because I'm black doesn't mean I want a government to take care of me. That is the mindset that we're dealing with. And what they do is they project their, actually, I think it's racist. They project it on people. Right. They do what they say other people do. And because we're, and I said it before, because we're polite, we don't like arguments. We like to just keep everything, you know, even. We take it. We sit there and let them project this. And from an emotional standpoint, some people actually start to believe that they are bad, that they are doing the things that people say that these guys say that they're doing. It's some sort of psychological programming that's going on.
Let me ask, you brought it up, and I just want to follow through with it. Is it racist only if it comes from a white person? Or, you know, I was listening to Jesse Jackson the other day. He was being interviewed, and, you know, he's about as racist as you can get. And you have all the others that you might not label them but they twist the facts. I don't even want to say facts. They just twist the words.
Yeah.
And to me, that's in many ways more racist than a white person saying something, or you know, but they can also be as racist against whites as they are black.
And I agree. Just, well, they have disdain for black people, and they are trying to control white people by using the race card. So they think that black people, and this is all about power, honestly. If you want to talk the Hispanic version of this, it would be La Raza, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, and the rest of that crew for black people. They don't speak for me. They don't speak for a majority of black people. They're just put out there by the media as the spokespeople. How does Al Sharpton get a show? Really?
Yeah.
Nothing that he's ever been involved with that I've ever seen is actually truthful. It's all about manipulation and race hustling and trying to control the narrative. If they really cared, they would not be against charter schools. If they really cared about the future of black children in this country, they would be with the people who are trying to stop the busloads of people coming in. These people aren't going to end up in Beverly Hills. They're going to end up in the hood. They're going to end up in blue-collar neighborhoods. That's where they're going to go. And it's already a 50% unemployment rate among youth. When you start competing with lower-skilled, lower-wage laborers, they're going to lose more jobs. How does that speak for black people? Because they're not for us. This is all about fermenting division, whether it's separating Hispanics from everybody with the race, which is what La Raza means. And I heard one of the there was a, I think he's a rancher, but a Hispanic gentleman in Texas really say that the La Raza really is the KKK, the Hispanic version of the KKK. These are people who gin up anger, hatred, fear. They exploit the differences between us instead of what makes us all one. And the government is going along with it. The government is actually encouraging these groups to do that. Al Sharpton now has a mouthpiece. He's got a megaphone to talk his nonsense. You've got the government in local, state, and federal telling people that they can't be Americans, that it's somehow offensive to people coming into the... You're in America. If you can't put on a flag T-shirt and root for your own country in a game, then where are you? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. And the courts have backed them up. There's, I think, something in... I don't know what state it was, but kids had some American flag T-shirts on Cinco de Mayo. They were asked to take them off. This all went to court, and the court ruled against them. What about freedom of speech? So now the schools are now this protected, walled-off zone where First Amendment rights don't count, Fourth Amendment's rights don't count. These children are growing up in a police state, and they're getting used to being searched, having drills run, you know, intermittently, where the cops come in riot gear and basically, you know, herd everybody into classrooms. They're living in a situation that's a psyop situation, where you get used to, I don't deserve a gun. You know, basically, I don't want a gun because I want someone to take care of me. The government loves me. The government's going to give me everything I need. That's what these kids are growing up learning. Dear leader stuff. And they're not going to, I mean, they're snitching on their parents. Some kid turned their parent in a few weeks ago. You know, I don't remember. I don't think it was pot. I'm not sure what it was. But the bottom line is the child went to the school to turn them in. And the parent got arrested. So you've got, you know, it's like pod people, you know, basically.
It's incredible.
It's manufactured. This is not happening by accident.
No. And one step further on that, it's happening in schools. The kids aren't obviously getting it at home, turn your parents in.
No.
They're getting it at school.
It's
if
absolutely.
If your parents do something, you got every right to turn them in.
It's child's rights. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So now that in California, the child has the right to get a vaccine, to consent to taking a vaccine, Gardasil, whatever the school wants to give them in birth control, whatever they want to give them in school, because the child now has rights and they can consent under the age of 18 without their parents knowing. So the schools are now pitting the parent against child, giving autonomy to the child who intellectually can't handle it. You've got people now coming with the DSM, the psychological code book, saying that being a pedophile is just an orientation, a sexual orientation. Yes, pedophiles. So they're trying to make everything just, everything's okay. You know, you've got people who are just predators out there, but they're not really committing a crime. They're born this way. Come on.
You know, what you said earlier in the show couldn't be more dead on than it is, and that this has been planned. This didn't happen, you know.
No.
This is the way we're going to take over medicine. This is the way we're going to take over communications. This is the way we're going to take over children. This is the way, you know, this has been going on for, you know, you'd have to give credit to Obama or anybody else if they could have done it in 5 years or 6 years. But
he's just finishing what's been started.
Exactly.
It's not, he didn't think this up. The people in power now, his administration, are all rife with people who believe this, who are, they can see the finish line and they are sprinting towards it. And by making us all fight each other, keeping us off balance, putting us in a position where we're forced to fend. So we're not even fending for ourselves yet. We will be, but it hasn't happened yet. It's just this massive, I need to survive. I need to keep my job so I can pay my mortgage, so I can get food on the table. It's just survival mode that we're in while they're doing all these things around us and keeping the fog going. Now, you're right. Medicine used to be about healthcare. The Flexner Report, which is, I think it was underwritten by Rockefeller, the Rockefeller family, changed medicine. So it went from being more of a naturopathic, more of a holistic type of picture, to pharmaceutical driven. This didn't just happen. By giving money to the medical schools, it changed their bent more towards treating the disease, not curing it, managing it. Now it's such a money-making industry. I mean, I've said it in the past, I'm going to say it again. Doctors are we have control of our profession if we choose to take it back. No one's making us write a prescription for 15 different cholesterol medicines. The next commercial that comes on, you write the most expensive thing, and it's really only just a combination of two things that are already on the market. It's a total scam. Most of the new medicines that have come out are combinations of older medicines that are already out there. Hmm. And they're calling them new names, and they're charging X number of bucks for it. It's amazing. And doctors are writing these. I mean, I see people come into my office with 20, 25 medications. I can't even list them all on one sheet of paper. It's gotten to the point, see attached is what I have to say, because there's so many things that they're taking. Some of them double of the same class. Some of them counter, you know, this taking for the side effect of what one caused. It's ridiculous. So it's up to us as doctors to decide what the patients get. There's nobody who walks into my office and tells me, I want this drug and gets it. It's not going to happen. Find somebody else. We're going to have a thoughtful process. We're going to be a team. We're going to decide together what you actually need. And better yet, what we can do so that you won't need the medicine. That's how I operate. And that's the difference between being a physician and being a healthcare provider. They're not the same. And anybody in an accountable care organization does not have the luxury of doing that with a patient. They got to get the volume in. It's capitated. You get a certain amount of money per year. You keep that money by avoiding tests, not seeing them as often as you need to, because that's where the money sits. If you do tests and you do anything to help your patient that they may need, it's going to cost you and your organization money. It doesn't work. It means you deny access, you deny care in order to keep the little chicken change that they want to give you. I'm not going to get on that rat wheel. And if more doctors thought that, I think we're growing, AAPS, Doctors for Patient Care, we're definitely growing. But we're not the majority. We need to turn the tide for doctors to say, I'm done. I don't want your money. I'm going to have a direct relationship with the patient, and we're going to decide, we're going to make a deal with each other. That's how you break the system. The pharmaceutical companies are running roughshod over all of us. They created evidence-based medicine. They fund these scientific studies, and I heard again how bad vitamins are all of a sudden. Really? Okay. Well, until they take over all the vitamin companies, vitamins are going to be bad. So I think people need to really peek under the hood instead of all the rhetoric and the fog. Really, it all comes down to who stands to gain. That Flexner report was all designed towards moving us towards single payer. Medicare is socialized medicine for seniors. It was always designed so that it could grow out from there to incorporate the rest of us. Medicare is just, it's a killing field. There's nothing good about Medicare. For children, adults, nobody. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Come on, follow Sniffles to Atlanta's go-to center for breathing easy. Do you suffer from chronic sinus headaches, recurrent sinusitis, facial pain or pressure, and chronic congestion? Well, balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
FollowSniffles.com. We treat the problem, not the symptom. Chronic sinus symptoms, gone. This could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day, and it's done under local anesthesia. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again.
Follow me and breathe easy.
FollowSniffles.com.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
For years, Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center has been providing outstanding care to patients of all ages. They are dedicated to patient satisfaction and have been the recipient of the Georgia Otolaryngology Association Patient Satisfaction Award. They welcome any questions you may have about their services. Their practice includes treatment of asthma, allergies, sleep apnea, snoring, hearing impairments, and chronic sinus disease. Dr. Elena George is a board-certified ear, nose, and throat surgeon. Her training in New York has included training at Manhattan Eye, Ear, and Throat Hospital and Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. She believes in practicing both the art and science of medicine. All patients are seen by Dr. George. All treatment options are discussed, and time will be spent to answer all questions. Their office is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, you can be confident that you are in good hands with their professional team.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, it's all about educating yourself. There is an excellent article. I don't think it's an article. I think it's actually commissioned. this person, Dr. Iserby, Charlotte Iserby, was part of the U.S. Department of Education. She got fired from it. But she was in on all of the changes that were coming down the pipe. And it's called the Dumbing Down of America. I think it's called the Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. And her last name is kind of hard to spell, but it's I-S-E-R-B-Y-T, something like that. So you should be able to look her up from that standpoint. Read this. It's free. It's online. And it gives you the roadmap for how they screwed up education. It's not by accident that people can't read, that people don't know their history, that there's no social studies, that there's no critical thinking skills. It was all about producing people to perform certain jobs in society. So these people who go through public high schools, you know, they pick out a few that are going to be the intellectual set, the academics, but the majority of people are just designed to be cogs in the wheel. You know, to just be workers, not be entrepreneurs, not be self-made people, but to just get a job, do what's told, go and enjoy your weekends. And there is a bell curve. Not everybody should be in college. I'm not saying that. But when you have a majority of people not entering society in a meaningful way, being lost to the prison system, being lost to drugs, pregnancy, there's something wrong with the system. It doesn't make sense that many people would fall out of it. It doesn't make any sense. So we have to think about the long-range picture. They want people that are driven by emotion, that can be distracted by the shiny thing, that you turn on the reptilian brain and they just start working against themselves. They work against their own interests. They vote for identity politics, not because they think about anything. They don't question when something is obviously completely, messed up. They just hope for the best, look for someone to help them, look for a hero. You're your own hero. Nothing I'm doing on this radio show is something that's special to me. It's an obligation because I know things. I want to share them with people. So that's my motivation. It's not making money. It's not being popular. It's about giving people the tools and, I hope, the motivation to do what I did. I didn't just come to this. It happened because I was unhappy with the way things were going. And you can sit there and hope for the better, do the same thing, expect a different result. Get in line with, the dark force and then just do it and hope that you'll be, make it through. That's not my way. And there's a lot of people, Dave, I'm sure you're one of them. If you see something going off the rails, you're going to alert people to it. You're certainly not going to be part of it to add energy to it, but you're going to help people who want to be helped make a change. And this show talks to people who are open, who are not afraid of change, who want to understand what's going on around them. I mean, you can either stick your head in the sand and hope that you don't get your butt shot off, or you can actually protect yourself. And that's what this show is designed to do. Happily, I'm seeing a lot more people that are thinking like we are, or at the very least are now in the position of saying something's not right. I don't know what it is, but I know it's not right, and I'm not afraid to start looking. That's what you need to do. That's how I started. And it's not hard. While the internet is still open, we need to start taking advantage of it before they shut it down. I mean, this net neutrality, I don't know a lot about it, but is that basically the beginning, the kill switch for the internet, in your opinion?
Yeah, that's part of Agenda 21, that taking over the internet. This was before you were born. As you were talking, it just, hit me in the head. But do you remember Khrushchev and the Cuban Missile Crisis, mm-hmm. and all this? Well, he made a very poignant statement. He said, "We're going to take over America. We're going to take over America, and never fire a shot." And the first thing they did was they started infiltrating the universities with communists, teachers, professors, whatever. And now we're seeing the end results. And I've been asking, who is this all about? Who is, The ultimate is, it's communism.
It's not even communism. It's kind of a hybrid of totalitarianism, fascism, and communism. It's a combination. It's a hybrid now. Communism is, it doesn't work. It's pretty obvious that you can look at countries and go, I don't want to do that. But when you start to kind of mix it all in, it has the same result. You have a bureaucracy, you have a intelligentsia, you have a chosen few who are running it for everybody else. And their design is to, it's like Brave New World. Honestly, read that book. Because everybody's in a strata where you've got the worker bees, you've got the scientists, you've got the intelligentsia, who are making everything up.
We're radio folks.
Well, we're not in that. I mean, we're outliers, which is exactly where I want to be. I don't want to be part of that whole. There's nothing. Nobody's put on this earth for someone else to manipulate like that, like a puppet. That's not living. That's somebody determining your fate. I don't work that way. So from my standpoint, the system doesn't work when there's, and that's that book, there's a character who comes into that system, is completely opposite of everybody else, doesn't fit in, and it makes them all really take a look at themselves. That's what we are. That's our job. People who are critical thinkers, who don't want to be part of the problem but part of the solution, and can see this moving in a way that's not, it's not healthy, it's not good, it's not going to serve humanity for us all to be drones, for us to be just living, the base part of ourselves, just going from distraction to distraction, entertainment to entertainment. How low can you go? Because you need more stimulation to make it worthwhile. That's what we're seeing. I mean, you've got kids who can't be stimulated by reading a book. They need a video game. They need it to be colored and flashes, you know, light flashing in order to stimulate their brain because it's not been developed. They want that. So when you put your kid in the crib with the iPad, we have this thing, a holder with an iPad, so the kid can look up at it, you're killing their brain cells. They can't think for themselves. They can't spatially understand critical thought process. They never made those connections. I mean, when I read a book, I'm sure that you do too, you actually don't see the words at points. You see the actual color or the thought is, it's a picture, basically. These kids can't do that. It's amazing. So all the dyslexia and ADD and all these learning disabilities, they're not by accident either. This is a society that's being pushed in a certain way, created to make citizens compliant, to keep them easily distracted so that the power brokers can do what they want to want less. Now they're making us or trying to push us into this feeling of you don't need a lot. You know, you don't want to have heated water because of global warming. I love this. I think this was Prince Charles, that people should take cold showers. I'm sure he's not. So you should want to take short cold showers, live in a dark, dank apartment because of global warming while they're living in castles. Are you kidding me? Really? This has all created false lack, everything that we're dealing with. They've created, you know, energy, a lack of energy because they won't run a pipeline or they shut down the refineries. They're creating this situation where it's more expensive and there's less of something. God created a situation or environment where there's enough for everybody, really. And if you take the mindset and you change it from what I don't have to what I actually do with some gratitude, you actually, it changes your mindset on a lot of things. So nobody can make you live in fear because that's how they control you. It's all about fear. Fear of where your next paycheck's coming from. Fear that you won't make your mortgage. Fear that you won't be able to, you know, buy whatever jewelry you want. Whatever it is, it's all driven by what you can't do. I say change your energy on it. And when you do that, you realize these people don't matter. The Hollywood types that are proselytizing, who cares? They're complete puppets too. And they're beholden to their puppet masters. They're put here to try to distract us. Who cares what George Clooney says? Really? Do you really care what Justin Bieber does? If you do, then you have issues. You need to solve your issues because they could care less. I mean, they're living in a bubble themselves. And again, we have the power over that. Don't see their movies. Don't buy their books. Don't play into it. It stops. It's manufactured. That's all I have to say.
I'm there. Right there with you. I wouldn't go to a George Clooney movie if somebody else paid for it. You know, not interested. This has been super, and you hit it on the head. You're here to inform, and you bring a perspective that most of us will never have, or never, except for you, and it's greatly appreciated.
Well, you know, it's a pleasure and honor to be able to do that. You know, I thank God every day. And I just want people to be able to be who they're supposed to be without anybody stepping on them. And that includes me as a physician, my patients, and out from there, every member of our society, and in the world for that matter. And everybody just needs to take responsibility. Once we decide that we're going to handle our own fate, then these people lose power. That's the real revolution, honestly.
Well, with that being said, I appreciate it, and I think this has been a very good show. It'll be replayed a number of times. Just look on our schedule, and you'll hear Dr. George. And you were on Newsmax. We ought to mention that, and mm-hmm. They can go to Newsmax and pick up the interview that you did there. They can go to our website or our Facebook page, and I've shared it on our Facebook page as well.
Very cool. Thank you.
We love having you here. We'll be back next week with Dr. Elena George and Medicine on Call. Stay tuned for more on America's Web Radio.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.